Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Religion would not even be an issue except for the Bible.
Before we get carried away, let's read our Bibles now.
I can assure you there are millions of Christians who did not take parts of the Bible literally.
Forfeit all claims to your own authority. Stand without apology on the only authority that matters, which is the authority of God Himself entrusted to us in His Word.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here.
Looking forward to two things. One, being in Bryan, Texas at Emmanuel Baptist Church Sunday morning. Hope you can join us there. It might be a little drive. Texas is kind of big, but if you're anywhere in the state, scoot on over to the College Station Bryan area. You know, the home of Texas A&M. Join us at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Two services Sunday. I'll just be honest with you. The second sermon will probably be better. Because that's typically the way that it works. The other exciting bit for me today is reading your emails sent to idea@wretched.org. Questions, comments, conundrums, snarks. I was actually thinking about this last night, and this will probably not sound as genuine as the emotion actually was, but I was just so grateful that you send stuff to us, that it's just really an overlooked blessing to receive an email from somebody. And when you send, whether it question, comment, conundrum, snark, when you think of us and send a story or a sermon, I thought, wow, that's nice. So thank you for sending emails to idea@wretched.org.
Well, the first one that we have this week is from Jimmy. And he was wanting to know when there's going to be a homeschool curriculum released for Road Trip to Truth.
Well, Jimmy, that's a great question. It's released right now. You can find it at wretched.org. You can also visit the roadtriptotruth.org or .com site. We've got both of them. And you're going to find a 210-page homeschool curriculum written by Dr. Dana Snead of Answers in Genesis. It's the bomb diggity. If you homeschool, please get it. Tell Jimmy, if you could tell this Jimmy fellow.
Yeah, I'll make sure he gets it.
Yeah. Was out on the campus earlier this week talking to students, and a young man approached us, and he's meeting with some other guys, and they're trying to, he said, I was almost like, did Jimmy send you? He said, is there anything that you guys have where we could talk about some of this stuff and like postmodernism and how to think like a Christian? Well, as a matter of fact, young man, Road Trip to Truth is exactly right for such a task. If you do not have it, please get it. Watch it. Download it. Get the DVD if you're old-fashioned that way. And consider getting the study guide to teach it to your youth group. And if you homeschool, Jimmy, you can find it at wretched.org.
I hope he's listening.
That's a great email, that. Any others, Jimmy?
Yes, we have one from... they didn't put their name. Oh, yes, they did. Davis. He was wondering, what might you recommend for trying to evangelize to lukewarm parents? He wants to know how to talk to his parents gracefully and convincingly to convince them that they need to do more to change their habits.
Did I mention that I'm going to be at Emmanuel Baptist Church on Sunday morning?
I don't think so.
Yeah. On Saturday night, I think we're meeting at the church. I do believe there's going to be pizza involved. And I'm thinking about the emphasis of a presentation on evangelism. So this is a sneak peek, for whatever that's worth. And maybe an encouragement to all of us. Did I mention I was out on the campus earlier this week?
No.
Here's what's motivating my thinking on evangelism. These kids are so either confused or hurting or just needing discipleship. I rarely run into somebody who doesn't need just a somebody to invest or to care for or to talk to or to help figure out life. And I'm hit with that over and over again. And it's causing me to think less about evangelism as I gotta get this out. I got to make sure I get all these points in. Just talk to people and let the conversation happen. Now, you want to make sure that you know how to present the gospel, which is why I still love. Would you consider yourself to be a good person? Do you think you've kept the Ten Commandments? If God judged you, would you be innocent or guilty? Do you think you'll go to heaven or hell based on your guilt? It's profoundly helpful. But if you go just thinking, oh, I got to get those 4 points in or I didn't do it. Nah, I'm telling you, you'll get those 4 points in a whole lot better and in more depth and detail if you just see somebody as lost or hurting or needing and then talk to them. So Davis, if your parents aren't saved or you're thinking they're not saved, don't be mad at them. Don't think that it's your job to get them saved because you can. Figure out a way to be able to have conversations with them that are just conversations. Because every time we load our guns to go into battle, we end up thinking, oh, I might misfire. I could shoot myself in the foot. And somebody might be dragged off of the field. Don't look at it that way. Talk to your mom and dad. And you can even be subtle about it to a degree. You don't have to go, Mom and Dad, so I think you're a false convert, so listen to this. But you could say, for instance, hey, Mom and Dad, I heard this sermon called Hell's Best Kept Secret at livingwaters.com. Whoa, it was amazing. Would you please listen to it? I'd love to talk through it with you. And they're going to hear why so many people are false converts. They're going to hear the law. They're going to hear the gospel. It's a magnificent sermon. It's Ray Comfort's hallmark sermon, Hell's Best Kept Secret. It's at livingwaters.com. By the way, I think I talked about this a week or two ago. And I did hear from somebody who went, gulp, I now understand why I was a false convert and why there are so many false converts. It's magnificent. You can use that and just say, can we talk about it when you're done? Or we can listen to it together. It was so good. I'll listen to it like 17 times. It's that good. Or you could share with your mom and dad, hey, I was reading this Bible verse. Jesus is talking about true and false converts. And I thought, whew, I want to make sure I'm not one. Can we talk about this? And then you engage in conversations. Could you say to your mom and dad, I've been reading and I've been studying. And here's what I've learned, and it's really troubling me a lot. I live with you, and I've been seeing this, and the Bible's been saying that. Could we talk about it? Because I'm really concerned. Yeah, you could. Which one of those should you do? Well, you pick, or concoct your own option. And execute it because of your circumstances, your skills, your gifts, your relationship, but do it with the motivation that I just care about this person. And it tends to go so much better. I have to tell you, since the Lord has been growing me in that regard, witnessing on campuses, it has changed. It used to be like 4 or 5 minutes out. It's 30 minutes. 40 minutes? And we are talking theology. And these students are asking questions that are not aggressive and confrontational. They're genuine. And I think there's a reason for it. When we care about people and simply engage them with that motivation, Davis, it'll just go a whole lot better. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right. From Jason, he says, how do we handle looming controversy that's coming into the church when our pastors are downplaying the potential nature and significance from the pulpit?
Yeah. Yeah, that is a magnificent question because this applies to all of us, no doubt, throughout these situations. Maybe you've been in lockstep with your pastor. Every decision the elders make, it's super groovy. What if they don't make the same decision you would? What do you do? Or they don't preach about something that you think is a looming threat. What should you do? First of all, lovingly talk to them. Understand why, where they're coming from. You don't know all the details. Maybe you could actually serve as an instructor for your pastor. But ultimately, and this is so applicable in so many ways. If your elders make a decision, distancing, masks, services, getting back together, and you disagree with them, unless they are somehow in this situation telling you to sin, that's when we submit to our elders and we let them lead. Because they know more about the church than I do. They know more people than I do, and they know more about what's going on than I do. God has put them there. They have been called to that position, and I'm going to submit to it. As long as they're not encouraging you to sin, then we submit in these situations when we don't agree and we don't like them, and we don't go about the business of having a sourpuss and walking around and making it known to everybody that we don't like what's going on here. Because that's to undermine their authority. If it is not a theological issue per se, if they are not causing you to sin, even though you have Christian liberty to come up with a truth that is different than their a truth, if they're not telling you to sin because of the role and the authority that they've been given by God, we should happily submit. This is Wretched Radio. If only we had a clip of Dr. Steve Lawson explaining what the Masters Academy International is and perhaps encouraging you to support it. Hey, what's this button?
The goal of TMAI is to take the timeless truths and the timeless principles that are found in the Word of God and build those into men in those countries so that they in turn can preach the Word of God and be used by God to plant churches.
Talk about providence, Dr. Steve Lawson, commending and encouraging you to support this long vision ministry, equipping pastors to rightly divide the Word of Truth by going to a mini seminary, we'll call it, in 17 nations around the globe, trained by a master seminary graduate. It is brilliant. Please learn more about the Masters Academy International, wretched.org/pastor.
People over the age of 30 typically wonder how people under the age of 18 make it through life on their own. You know, some tend to think kids have it much easier these days, and in some respects, I'll concede there may be some truth to that. But ultimately, kids today live in a much different world than a lot of us grew up in. So questions like, why is there evil in the world? Is Jesus really God? Is there really only one way to heaven? And so many others are what this generation struggles with the most. I mean, 70% of young people leave the faith when they enter college. And that's where Road Trip to Truth comes in. John Favarez hit the road to talk to kids and hear their perspectives. And he also spoke to leading experts to help shed some light on the challenges kids are facing. So get your copy of Season 1 of Road Trip to Truth right now at roadtriptotruth.org. That's roadtriptotruth.org. See for yourself the struggles this generation is facing and learn how to witness to them.
Good afternoon, Mr. Friel, writes Joshua. As I listen to the Wretched podcast, I've often heard you recommend donating $28 to preborn.org. Indeed, you're correct, Joshua, which will provide an ultrasound for the mother. You go on to say, 80% of the time, the mother then chooses to spare her child's life, which is incredible. Indeed, it is. Joshua writes, I would encourage my fellow wretches who give to preborn to actually give $35 if they have the means, because statistically speaking, with $35 donated, they will save the life of a child. Thank you, my accountant friend, Joshua. He's right. $35, you will save a baby's life. Whatever the amount is that you can give for ultrasounds, would you please consider doing that and giving to preborn? You can visit preborn.org and save a life for $35. Preborn.org.
Books of the Bible. The book of Judges covers Israel's history from the death of Joshua to just before the reign of King Saul. The reoccurring phrase is, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. When Israel rebelled, God allowed their enemies to triumph. But when Israel cried out to God, he raised up a deliverer. God is faithful, even when his people are not. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this always makes me a tad nervous.
1-877-282-BEEP.
Are we ever going to update that sound? No. No, we're not. We're just going to wait for it to come back in style. This is Wretched Radio. You can send questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to idea@wretched.org. Or you can beep talk 1-877-282-BEEP. 1-877-282-BEEP.
Hi, Todd. If God is pulling you towards salvation and you're resisting, and he keeps pulling and pulling until you surrender, or he pulls and pulls and then decides to stop and leave you hard-hearted in rebellion, it's still God's decision. But isn't our free will involved somehow?
It's the dreaded free will question. And here's where we tend to just get it wrong down the track. The starting blocks are wrong. We don't have free will. We don't. The only people that you could probably say who have ever had free will would be Adam and Eve prior to the fall. They were given the choice freely, because they were not in bondage to Satan. Our wills are in bondage to the devil. It's not free. We are controlled by him before we are in Christ. And so the Lord regenerates us, breaks the shackles. We exhibit the fruit of repentance and faith when he has made us born again. Now, having said that, does that mean we're just little marionettes? Nope, it doesn't, because you've got another truth of the Bible. You have genuine responsibility and you make genuine decisions, and they are real. You say, wait a second, that comes into conflict with the sovereignty of God. He's controlling every molecule. How is it an actual genuine response to his preaching to me? Because it is. And he is sovereign. And he saves. And we have genuine responsibility. And that's where it sits. And that's where we let it rest comfortably. As Spurgeon said, when asked to reconcile these two ideas, he said, you don't have to reconcile, friends. There's a relationship that works perfectly in the mind of God, and you and I can struggle to get it, but that's what is presented to us. And I would simply encourage you to be encouraged by that, not discouraged. Well, I can't get that figured out, so maybe none of this is true. No, you can't get it figured out, which is a sign that it is true. Because I got to tell you, if I were going to create a sham religion, it would all make sense to me and then to my followers, because I'd want it to make sense, because I would be inclined to go, if they can't figure this out, they're going to think that I'm kind of making stuff up. And it's going to undermine my credibility, and I'm not going to be able to control them. So I'm going to make sure that this is really gettable. God makes so much gettable to us, but there are things that aren't, and it reveals that he is God, and he's not some sort of charlatan trying to trick people. He's not a figment of our imagination. He exists, and one of the proofs of it is we can't get him. His ways are not our ways. They're higher than, and we don't understand everything that God thinks and does, and that is good. Because if you can figure out everything about God, congratulations, you've joined him as a deity. Clearly we're not, but he is. And there are a number of these what appear to be imbalanced or even contradictory truths in the Bible. Who wrote the Bible? The Holy... Both? Exactly. Who's responsible for your sanctification? Well, the Holy Spirit empowers, but I have to do... making this hard. No, it's the mind of God. They are both reconciled in his mind, and we let them rest, and we don't just go, well, I guess I'll just swallow it and move on. No, I'm encouraged, because there must be things we don't fully comprehend if God is to be... God, 1-877-282-BEEP.
Todd has been talking a lot about CRT and systemic racism.
Jimmy, is that true? Have we been talking about this subject around here?
Yeah, just a little.
All right, just for the record, I don't know who you are, sir, at this moment, but you're the one who brought it up.
Todd has been talking a lot about CRT and systemic racism. I struggle with how to pray for my brothers and sisters who hold to these views, especially those who have closed me out of their lives because of my views. How do I act or react towards believers with differing opinions and convictions?
Bro, I gotta tell you, I'm such an idiot. I just am. Still shouldn't be, but I am. And I'm just barely starting to just see a little glimpse of the tip of the iceberg of the way that we are supposed to be approaching one another on these issues. Do I always see it? No. Do I always get it? No. Do I always do it? No, I don't. But here's increasingly the challenge that I see that's biblical. And these two walk hand in hand, by the way. Speaking truth in love. Love isn't sentimentality, it's truth. But having said that, love isn't just truth. There is a sentiment to it that says, I care about you. And so when we go about the business of having a disagreement with another person, yeah, we can engage with the truth, but I have to do it lovingly because I love them. And I found that the reason that I've had division in my life with other believers is because I was not motivated by love when I had the conversations, and I wasn't exercising good discernment. Now, this is something that I have been on about for I don't know how many years now, at least a decade, that there are rules to these situations. And when it comes to the subject of CRT specifically, I do believe we need to have some hierarchies of the statements of faith of CRT. Which one of these credos is theologically wrong? Now, a lot of them can be, but if they aren't really aiming at theology proper, like in the bullseye, and if it's not an essential issue, then I am called to still get along. And so I think, my friend, it depends on the issue itself and what you're disagreeing with. So let me just give you two. And I think, I'm not sure, but I think we may have talked about this even earlier this week, but it's still worth repeating. Remember, Paul and Peter did that, both. I've written to you about this. I've spoken to you about this, but I'm going to do it again. And it happened to be about the gospel, by the way, because we forget. We're like colanders. Are just flows right out. Goes, it flows right out. You listen to a sermon. How much do you retain? Yeah. So we need repetition. Let's consider CRT, critical race theory, as it's being imported into the church. You say, I think that there's Marxism connected to it. I would agree with you on that. But let's just say you've got somebody inside of your church who's adhering to CRT. Does that mean that they are a Marxist? Well, you'd have to talk to them. And let's just say that they are. Let's just say that they believe the better system is not for people to have liberty and freedom, that they can exercise the gifts and exercise the blessings of an inheritance or of what are today called privileges. We like to call them blessings. You're smarter than me. Congratulations. Use it. And if you can make more money than I do, praise God. What a blessing for you. I think that's the more biblical system. They don't. They think government needs to be involved and they need to take money from rich people to give it to poor people and level the playing field. Not only of opportunity, but of outcome. Every man as he has need. That's what the way that it works. And they adhere to that. Am I dealing with a heretic? I don't see how I am. Could they be confused? No, I know they are. Are they wrong? I definitely believe that they are. Might it be, though, because they don't have education on it? They've not thought it through. They didn't consider it. They'd never been shown why the capitalistic system is so much more biblical than a socialistic system, which our kids need to understand a lot these days because they're getting bombarded by socialist ideologies. Maybe it's a teaching issue. Maybe they had an experience with a rich person, and maybe they were treated unjustly, and so they think that this is the system that's going to bring about a recompense that is favorable for their outcome. I don't know, but I can't call them a heretic, and I can still call them brother, even when they are biffed at that level. If it's something about the correct understanding of the nature of God, a gospel of grace alone, faith alone, yeah, no, now we got a different situation. We're in a different court. But when we're talking about different issues of the CRT issue, I've got to proceed with a whole lot of caution, with a lot of charity. Doesn't mean I'm going to sell out. Doesn't mean I'm going to give in. It just means I'm going to try to understand, because I am loving my brother who's professing to be a believer, who is not, at least on the surface, adhering to anything heretical, confused, wrong, needing education, perhaps even sinfully motivated. But if they're still a brother, then I treat them lovingly. And if we can do that as we proceed with this so desired conversation, maybe, just maybe, we'll have more unity. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hanks. Facebook tops the news today. They're looking to widen their reach to religious groups by introducing a new feature they're calling prayer posts. They're currently testing out this feature. It lets users post prayer requests and then click on a pray button, which will let others know that you've prayed for their respective requests. Because just actually praying apparently isn't enough anymore. So it's going through the test phases and runs right now with just a few members, but there's no word on when it's going to be widely available for everybody. But I haven't been able to figure out how I feel about it just yet. I mean, on the one hand, I guess I appreciate the prayer request end of it, but where I'm having a problem is I don't think a meter that keeps tabs on exactly who's praying for you and how many times your prayer request has been prayed for, so you can compare how many people prayed for your prayer request versus this guy's prayer request over here, so your problem must be better or worse or whatever. I just don't think that's appropriate. I don't know. Maybe it's me. The U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom has highlighted the worldwide persecution of Christians in a new report that was released on Wednesday. The report indicates that Christians are facing increased persecution all over the world, in places like North Korea, in Iraq, in Burma, and in China. 50,000 Christians are being held in prison camps in North Korea. 3,000 girls and women have been reported missing in Iraq. 130,000 are in internment camps in Burma, and as many as 3 million are being held in Chinese concentration camps. And as we tell you all the time, please, please make sure that you continue praying for our brothers and sisters abroad. And a new bill passed yesterday by House Democrats would in theory make Washington, D.C. the 51st state in America, and it would also force taxpayers to fund abortions. Fortunately, though, the measure heads to the Senate, where it looks like Republicans are going to filibuster it, and Democrats likely will not find the 60 votes that they would need to end the filibuster, which would then end the legislation. Republicans say the proposed state explicitly violates the U.S. Constitution. So what's the big reason for the push to make Washington, D.C. a state? 3 more pro-abortion members of Congress, which would include 2 senators who would make it extremely difficult for Republicans in the Senate. And aside from the partisan reasons, keeping D.C. from statehood would save hundreds of babies from taxpayer abortions every year. See if you can track with me. It's a long-winded explanation, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but as briefly as I can, according to the Constitution, Congress has complete authority over D.C., which would include budget appropriations. So if D.C. were made a state, then they would likely join the 15 other states in the U.S. who provide state funding for elective abortions. And currently, because of the Hyde Amendment, federal funds, federal tax dollars can't be provided for elective abortions, except in this weird situation. So as I said, there are 15 states currently that provide state funding for elective abortions. Not federal funding, but state funding. But remember, funding for D.C. comes from all of our tax dollars because Congress appropriates it in the budget. So let's all pray that this measure fails for the sake of unborn babies being allowed to be born. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hanks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Advocate. When we as God's redeemed people sin, Jesus is our advocate before the Father. It is on the basis of Christ's righteousness that we are saved, not our own works. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is going to sound like a setup. Well, because it is, but it wasn't totally intentional. This is Wretched Radio. Fumbling through my papers, I got to tell you something. I am so pumped about another show that we're going to do that isn't this one. Hey, there's an endorsement for us. Mark Shaw, he is the founder of the Addiction Connection, did a presentation at the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors Conference, and it is a part, by the way, of Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3. It's on the subject of self-harm. It's brilliant. It's so staggering in its ability to help us understand something that is likely so confusing to you if you're not a cutter, a self-injurer, or if you are. Because this issue, for if you do not ever have an interest in harming your own body, you hear about people who will do things to themselves to actually inflict pain, sometimes to just feel good or connected to reality, and you go, I don't get it. I can't get this. I can't relate. I don't know what to say. This presentation is so biblically illuminating. By the time it's done, you're going to go, I totally get it. I totally understand. Now, that doesn't mean everything is fixed for somebody and that you're just going to be able to go, oh, look, here's your three Bible verses. Take them. Call me in the morning. You'll be done with this. No, it's biblical counseling requires discipleship and time and a lot of instruction, a lot of repenting, a lot of commitment, a lot of hope are required. But the Bible, here's an abused Bible verse that we just kind of sling sometimes. The Bible's a two-edged sword. Yeah, and it cuts in a good way so that it can heal. And in the issue of people who cut, it is better than to bring the Word of God who does the cutting to help us understand why we're motivated to inflict injury upon ourselves. It opens you up. It puts you on the table, reveals all the pieces, and then puts them back together in the right biblical order. Can't wait to share that with you. Not that this particular program is deficient. I'm just telling you. You remember, Jimmy, you cut this up.
Yep.
Oh, mm-hmm. Smart. Because it's a head scratcher. Why would somebody do that to themselves? Oh, and they're leaving scars on their body. This will help you get it. It's also found, by the way, on Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3, available at wretched.org. But I also stumbled into this stack of papers. Look what you have done in 2020. This happens to be a statistic from our good friends at Preborn. It's a pro-life ministry. They provide ultrasound machines. They provide training. They teach them how to preach the gospel to the people that they are counseling. They take care of postnatal. They deal with abortion centers all over the country in support of saving lives. And guess what? There were, in 2020, 61,000 pregnancy tests. That's ultrasounds going on. 80% of the time, people choose life. They are doing magnificent work. And wow, they are just about as frugal as we are. Because their percent, I don't know if you know about this, but nonprofit organizations, they have to be audited every year. Oh, it's a laugh riot. And they then determine how you're spending money toward your statement of faith or your mission statement as an organization or whatever they call it. Now, are you actually doing it? And then they, based on your numbers, it's an accounting issue, tell you what percentage is actually going toward what you're doing versus you're spending it on an awful lot of fill in the blank, travel, food, luxury items. You're buying a lot of vehicles, that sort of shenanigan. And then you get a lower percentage. So if you make your ministry brings $10 into its coffers, how many dollars actually go to the actual ministry? Preborn? Whew. I know they're in the 80 percentile. I know they are. So are we, by the way. I think we're 85.2%, if I'm not mistaken. But enough about numbers. They spend it wisely, and the results magnificent. If you are not a supporter of Preborn, would turn your attention to preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. And now, scared mother. Please send your beep dogs to 1-877-282-BEEP.
Yes, hello. I have a question about backsliding. I am trying to get back to the Lord. I backslid many years. When I check the Bible out, I'm confused. There's two messages. One, the prodigal son. Another one where you turn away from the plow. And even more where it'd be better that you know, never were born. Can a backslider, like myself, be saved? Come back to the Lord. Or am I done?
Got to define backsliding and got to define what it is that you've done. We tend to use the word backsliding to suggest that somebody, we do it in a bunch of shades, don't we? Sometimes you'll hear some folks in some camps go, oh, you lost your salvation. Or people will say, well, you were saved, but you wandered away from the Lord and 22 years later, God got a hold of your heart again. And back in you go, and you're back at it because you were just backsliding. I don't think any of those categories are correct. I'm not a fan of the term backsliding because if it's baggage that is brought to the table. And you're right, sir. There are two messages, but they aren't the aforementioned definitions of backsliding. You're exactly right in your reading of the Bible. You've got yourself the prodigal son. He appears to have wandered away, but he came back. Prodigal son was never a good son. He never loved the father. It was only after his pigsty experience that he did become, in this instance, a follower of Jesus Christ, a lover of his father. And so the story of the prodigal son isn't a story about a backslider. It's about somebody who professes to be a good guy, but they're not, professes to be a believer, but they're not. And really, if you really want to dive into the context of the prodigal son, is a good Jew when they're not, because that's what Jesus was aiming at in this context. So we see in the prodigal son, rightly understood, this is somebody who wasn't ever saved, and their prodigal wanderings reveal the heart. They didn't go on a little rumspringa and then come back. What about putting your hand to the plow and not looking back, being fit for service? This is Jesus warning us about really the heart of the issue, sir, and that is true and false conversions. All of those comments that he made, let the dead bury their own dead. You've got the field. You don't need to inspect it. Why was this a perpetual theme for Jesus? Because he was addressing false conversions. And so we need to carefully look at our lives and ask the question, am I living like a Christian? And have I been living like a Christian? Because I do think it is wise to determine when you were born again. I do think it is a worthwhile endeavor. I do not think it should become an all-consuming endeavor. But I do think we should try to figure it out. Because it's just good to have it settled and to know why. Because you've done a correct examination. If you, for instance, you got saved when you were whatever the age is, it doesn't really matter. But you spent the next lengthy period of time. I'm not talking about a couple of days or weeks or months. There can be periods where somebody is getting themselves into a dangerous situation, but they're saved. They kind of put their toes in the pigsty. I don't know what that would accomplish either, but the point is they dabble in sin, but then they repent. Doesn't mean they lost their faith. It means that they were sinning and they needed to repent. But this maybe goes on for a longer period of time. No interest in the Lord. Diving into the sty, swimming around, playing with the other piggies, loving it, hating righteousness. More likely you were never saved when you thought you were. And then all of a sudden, somebody, they get saved and everything changes. That's probably your date. When your affections to Jesus changed are one of the best barometers to consider. When you went from hating the things of the Lord to loving the things of the Lord, that's probably your time or your season. Not necessarily the second or the day, but the time or the season. Now, having said all that, Here's my encouragement to you, because I know it is not just this gentleman who is struggling with this issue. The more important question than when were you saved is, are you saved now? Are you saved today? Get that settled in your heart. It's going to keep you from getting confused then as you go back to do a little bit of a history examination to see when it was that you actually got saved. You'll figure that out in time. But determine this. Am I saved today? Then you can go about the business of trying to discover the season when God actually saved you. Please, if you are obsessing about this subject, I would encourage you to stop. If you're one, it's just, I got to figure it out. Yeah, I'm saved today, but I got to figure this out. You're looking at yourself too much. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Study him. Consume him. Learn about him. And I can promise you that your desire to be anxious about figuring out when it was you were saved will dissipate. This is Wretched Radio. 844-34-BIBLE. 844-34-BIBLE. You say, Friel, usually the phone number goes at the end of a commercial. I'm putting it at the beginning because I would like to strongly encourage you to call 844-34-BIBLE. A very nice person, representative at MediShare, will answer your call and share with you what might be an alternative to your traditional health insurance that's driving you bonkers right now. The average family saves, give or take, $500 per month. Right now, waiving the initiation fee, an additional $170. Within 2 minutes, they will tell you what you will be saving every month by signing up with MediShare, Affordable Biblical Health Sharing. 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Hey, thanks for joining us today for another episode of Wretched Radio. We certainly appreciate you and appreciate your time. We also want to point you in the direction of our newest resource, Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3. It's a 63-lecture series that biblically tackles issues like abuse, self-harm, eating disorders, addictions, bullying, and suicide. If it's your first exposure to biblical counseling, prepare to be staggered at the Bible's ability to diagnose and counsel those who are struggling simply just to live another day. The devil is good at what he does, but Jesus is much better at what he does, which is telling the truth and giving life abundantly. Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3 opens the door to the Bible like you've never experienced it before. Check it out right now and order your copy today for yourself and those in your life that you know are struggling. Wretched.org/counseling3. That's wretched.org/counseling3.
Don't you just hate it when somebody says, oh, you got to see this video? Well, then prepare to hate this because, oh, you got to see this video. I'm looking at poor people in Eastern Europe receiving care packages from the Tomorrow Clubs. You're familiar with this amazing ministry in Eastern Europe in poor nations. They bring the gospel to little teeny tiny villages, can hardly call them towns. The kids gather, they get loved on, they get treats, and they get the gospel. But now, due to the COVID pandemic, poor people are even poorer. The Tomorrow Clubs are responding in tangible acts of kindness, putting together care packages to bring to the parents of these kids, and with it, they're bringing the gospel. Would you please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, see the work that they're doing, and consider supporting the effort to bring the gospel to Eastern Europe, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Know your reformers. John Wycliffe, called the Morning Star of the Reformation, was a professor at Oxford in the 1300s who preached against papal authority in matters of doctrine, politics, and church practice. After his death, his bones were dug up, burned, and spread over the river. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't ask me why, but this scares me. This is Wretched Radio. Send emails to idea@wretched.org. Send your actual voice through that, Jimmy, what do they call that thing? You talk into it and then somebody hears it a long way away?
The telephone?
That's the one right there, 1-877-282-BEEP. This just kind of gives me the shakes.
Oh, hey, Todd, this is Jonathan. Would you be...
How can I be nervous? Okay, Jonathan, I don't know you, but could we be friends? He just sounds nice, doesn't he?
Oh, hey, Todd, this is Jonathan. Would you...
No, seriously. I want to sound like Jonathan more. Listen to this guy.
Hey, Todd, this is Jonathan.
Dad, you know what he just said? Okay, I'm going to interpret what he said underneath. Are you deconstructing? I guess I am. He just sounded like, I like you, and I'm glad I'm talking to you. Jonathan, how did you get that? I want it.
Oh, hey, Todd, this is Jonathan.
Now, the question that's coming up right now is, how many times am I going to play this? Well, the answer is at least one more.
Oh, hey, Todd, this is Jonathan.
That was a lie. The answer is two more times.
Oh, hey, Todd, this is Jonathan. Would you be in favor of an unmarried heterosexual couple adopting a child?
No. Nope. Nope. The dynamic, the institution that God established for the growing up of children is in a covenant relationship between a male and a female. That's the dynamic that he has built. And where I suspect, you nice-sounding man named Jonathan, the temptation is, well, we're helping a child. Isn't it better that the child gets taken care of by an unmarried couple? We live in separate domiciles, and so it's not like we're shacking up or anything. Wouldn't that be better? And the answer is no. Why? Because that isn't the way that God has designed for parenting to take place for the sake of the child. It's a mother and a father together raising a child in a covenant union. If that dynamic doesn't exist, then we are acting like pragmatists. I can understand your heart's desire to do it because it's a kindly thing to do, but we want to do it with God's terms. And here's the upside to this. God blesses that decision. This is going back to what we discussed earlier this week, the sowing and reaping idea. When you just do it his way, just do it his way. I'm telling you, the blessings, just the delight of being obedient alone is a massive blessing. So we want to conform to his rules for doing it. And I'm telling you, when we do, we'll be blessed.
I was wondering about in Philippians how it says to do all things without grumbling. I heard John MacArthur explain that means, you know, don't complain to God about your situation. I was confused because Psalm 142, David pours out his complaint before God. Ah. So I was wondering how to harmonize those two passages.
Without diving into the Greek, I suspect that's where the key is found. The type of complaining that we are doing. Here's one type of complaining. Lord, my child is sick again. And my wife is frazzled, and the medical bills are just, we didn't take Friel's advice and become a part of MediShare at MediShare.com/wretched with affordable biblical health sharing. And now the bills are crushing us. Lord, please relieve us. Please send something to deliver us from this situation that we're in. That's one type of complaint. Here's another. Huh. Really? This. I needed somebody to hit my right front fender today. This is what you give me today, Lord? That's the type of complaining, Paul says. Ixnay on that. Now, it doesn't need to be that dramatic, but it's the complaining. You aren't doing it the right way, Lord, as opposed to a submissive heart that says, your ways are better than mine. But you told me that I get to bring my complaints, my laments, my desires to you, and that you will hear me. So I'm asking you to hear me because of your son, because we're just struggling mightily here, Lord. One is fine. The other is not. And by the way, just so you know, I did not do that type of complaint when my right front bumper got hit by a guy who wasn't paying attention in the parking lot. I didn't complain directly to God, is what I'm trying to say. 1-877-282-BEEP.
So I'm in a ladies Bible study, and we've grown in using resources that help us study the Bible with proper hermeneutics, which has been great. But oftentimes when I've asked a question, the way that questions are processed are still through personal experience and what, quote unquote, we think, not being a leader of the Ladies Bible Study, how could I help facilitate some of that?
You can. Hey, that's really an interesting story. You know the hermeneutics that we studied? How would that help us through this verse? The trick in this is to not become that gal. She's always interrupting. If you're annoyed with people because they're not practicing what was preached to them about biblical hermeneutics, then it's going to be a problem. That's just the way that it works. And when we bring a heart of crabbiness, it tends to go sour. But if your desire, think of this. Now, this is what church is all about. You've got a group of people that clearly are committed to the word. They studied biblical hermeneutics, which you could do via Herman Who, available at wretched.org. But that would be inappropriate for me to pitch at this moment. They're desiring to do it right, but they're not. You can one another them. You can be the helpful one who points it back. Do you need to do it every time? Probably not. But if you could regularly be going, I am so glad that I got to hear that about you. So here's what I was thinking about. Do you remember when we were studying biblical hermeneutics and it was talking about the subject of context and trying to understand what the original author was intending to convey to the original audience? I wonder if that wouldn't cause this verse to read like this. Then you can just help them and instruct them, and you can be a blessing to them without a whole lot of acrimony going on. And if you have not studied biblical hermeneutics, telling you, it is a subject that should cause you to read your Bible a whole lot better. If you haven't studied it, would encourage you to do so. We do have a resource for that. That's not the reason I played that beep talk, Jimmy.
Oh, I know. I know. You'd never do anything like
that. No. it just changes how you understand the Bible. There was a video that was made a number of years ago. I think we didn't include it. Maybe we did. I don't know. In Herman Who. But it was this Bible study. Okay. So there's Romans 12, 1 and 2. What does that verse say to you, Jim? Well, I just think that God's telling me that I need to study harder at school. Is what that's just what I think God is telling me. Sarah? Yeah, well, you know, I just feel like, you know, God's just been working on me so much. And I just think that I need to join the worship team so that I can be worshiping him as that act of service. So that's what I think the Lord is telling me. And everybody goes, And while that's nice, they've got those feelings. We're not mystics, and that's not the way that we interpret the Bible. We use art and science, both. There's got to be some rules to this book. There have got to be specific ways of reading it, and it's laid out in hermeneutics, and then as you know those things better, you start applying the art of hermeneutics, which is less of a specific, I'm making my way through a catalog of issues that I've got to deal with, and you just get better at it all the time, and you just read it all the time, and it just becomes increasingly alive, and the more you do it, the more you're going to want to do it, and the better you're going to get at it. Let me give you just, if I could, a challenge that might bless you. Friel, you're going to give us homework and this is going to be a blessing? I think so. Study hermeneutics if you can, as best that you can. And then I want you to think about one of your favorite verses from the Bible. And I would encourage you to then go to your, hopefully you've got a study Bible. If not, get a Johnny Mac study Bible. That's right. I just said Johnny Mac study Bible. And read the introduction, the interpretive challenges, the theological issues, who's writing it to whom, what's going on. And then don't just pick out your verse. Pick out the section of your verse. Pick out at least a paragraph. And this should not replace your Bible study time or your quiet time reading. I guess it could if you wanted to, but just read that text. Read it again and start studying it and looking at it and look at the sentence structures and look at the conjunctions And then all of a sudden you're going to go, wait a second, I got to go back and read a little bit more before this chapter starts. And then read that, and then read the stuff afterwards, and spend the next week doing that. And you tell me, next week, when we beep talk again, you tell me if you didn't learn more about your favorite Bible verse, maybe you've even understood it correctly for the first time, or with new insights, and if it didn't affect your life and change your day in some way because you have been sticking God's words into your noggin, rightly divided, regularly, I'm telling you, you'll be blessed. So until then, go do your homework. That's the wrong slogan. Go serve your King.